You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
This morning. This is Father's Day. And I guess I better put it out here now for most of us fathers, just in case you did not know. This is our day. Come on, this is our day that God gave us. But in understanding that this is the day that God has given us, I've come to the realization that we will never catch up to Mother's Day. I understand that. I understand. Listen, I put that to bed a long time ago. I am no longer trying to compete with mothers on Mother's Day. As a matter of fact, if you want to look at some competition, just look at last Sunday. For those of you who know what I'm talking about. But nonetheless, I understand that. Listen, mothers have their place, but understand that fathers do as well. And I think that we need to get rid of the misnomer that mothers love their children more than fathers do. Because I know some fathers that love on their children. And that are there for their children. And they deserve to be encouraged. They deserve to be celebrated. And so, fathers, if your children are going to make a fuss over you, let them do it. Because it's a point and place where you're doing what you're supposed to do as a father. When you're being a blessing to your children as a father, then you let them do what they're going to do. Our text this morning is going to come from the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter. And we'll take our scripture text from the 4th verse through the 7th verse, if you will. And it reads, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." And like I said, I don't plan on being up here long. But for a thought this morning, I want to use the blessing of being a father. The blessings of being a father. Fatherhood is one of the most greatest achievements that I've had. When I begin to survey my life and look back over my life, I look at the accomplishments that I've made. I graduated from kindergarten. Well, they celebrated, right? I graduated from eighth grade and high school, which was an accomplishment in its time. I went off to serve my country. I went through basic training. I made it through basic training. Was an accomplishment in and of itself. I went across the ocean and served faithfully and was honorably discharged from the United States Army, which was an accomplishment. I started a family. I married the love of my life. And began a beautiful family, which I'm proud of. And after starting a family, I went back to school and received my college education and graduated with my bachelor's and master's degree, which was a tremendous accomplishment. But none of those accomplishments mean as much to me as my four children do. I am honored to be their father. I'm honored to stand and be able to be there for them. Because unlike them, I did not have that as growing up as a young man. My father and I did not have the type of relationship that I would love or like for us to have. There were many questions that I had that only my father could answer. And so it pushed me and forced me to look for the answers in different areas. Some of the answers that I received were not good answers. Some of the advice that I received was not necessarily good advice. Nonetheless, some people had stepped in and stepped up and became what I call a community father. A community father is one that looks around and sees other young men or young women that they can father that did not necessarily come from their loins, but nonetheless, they still see the need to father them. And I just want to celebrate community fathers today. Because in community fathers, we have stepfathers who have stepped in. And even though the child did not come from their loins, have still been a father to that child. And one of the greatest examples, and I hope she don't get upset with me, was when I read on Facebook about Whitney and what she had to say about my brother Bernard. Such a touching. She talked about how much she loved him and how much they had grown. Bernard, you did a great job, man. Thank you for community fathers. Thank you for those who have stepped in, have stepped up, have been a blessing. I honor you today. What we need to understand is that fathers need to be encouraged. The problem with fatherhood is that sometimes some of us make fatherhood look easy, like it's simple. But understand that there's nothing simple about being a father. There's nothing simple about having to say no when your heart wants to say yes. There's nothing simple about chastising children that you truly love. But you understand that it's necessary. And so we need to spend more time encouraging our fathers. And that's my purpose this morning, is to come and to encourage you as fathers. Most times we start off good on Father's Day preaching these messages. But usually we get around to the point to where we start beating up men. And that's not what I want to do today. I want to encourage every good father out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. You see, because every now and again as a father, I want to give up. Every now and again as a father, I want to stop doing what I'm doing. Every now and again as a father, I don't feel appreciated like I ought to be appreciated. But understand this, that as being a father, I'm a father because I seek appreciation. I'm a father because that's what God has called me to be. He called me to be a father. He's given me beautiful children. He's given me children outside of my family that I'm mentoring. that I'm a father figure for. And so I dare not let them down, because God has called me. But understand this. Before God called me to be a father, he called me to be a man. And that is the foundation of fatherhood, is our manhood. You see, because men understand that this is a life of sacrifice. I understand that I'm a lose more than I gain. I know that. But when it comes down to it, there's a point in time that fathers need to start being concerned about their legacy and what they leave behind. And when it comes down to legacy, money is no option. I'm not concerned about money. But I'm concerned about, are my children getting it? Do they really see a good foundation, a good firm foundation in their father? Will my children be able to mimic what I do in private publicly? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And so God has called me to be a man first. In our text, God is making this covenant with Abram. But before he makes this covenant with Abram, God calls Abram out of his country. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the 12th chapter, verse number 1, God gives him a command. He said, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindreds and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. In other words, what he's saying that in order for us to be a man, you gotta get away from daddy's house. Shame on you if you got babies and you're still living at home with mama and daddy. God calls us out of that mess. And that's what he's called. That's what he's calling Abram. He's calling him out of polyanism, excuse me, where they serve multiple gods. And God said that if you're going to be a man, you got to serve the one and true and living God. So he calls him out. That was the command. But then there's also a promise in verse 2. He said, then I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So he calls him out of his daddy's house, and he calls him out with a purpose. And that purpose is to make him a great nation. Now, what you need to understand is that Abram is 75 years old right now. His wife, Sarai, is 65 years old. And she is barren. They have no children. So quite naturally, this must have sounded pretty strange to Abram, that God will give him or make him a great nation. But he has no children. He has no seed. As a matter of fact, in chapter 15, he tells God that. He said, all I have is my servant Eleazar, and he will be the heir of all that I have. And God tells him, not so. For I'm going to put a seed in Sarah's womb. I'm going to bring back a nation out of her womb. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a great nation. Several times in the book of Genesis, God tells them. He said that your seed will be so great that if you can number the stars in the sky, you'll be able to number the amount of children that I'm going to give you. He said, if you can number the grains of sand, you'll be able to number it. And so God makes him this promise. And Abram goes forth based upon that promise that God gave him, upon that command that God has given him. Look here, and even in verse number 3, it gets even better. He said, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, not all family includes us. Because of Abraham's obedience, all of us have been blessed. He said, I will bless them that bless you. And I'll curse them that curse you. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to God that he established this covenant with Abraham. Because this is an eternal covenant that reaches to even the Gentile nation. And Abraham obeyed and departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And he took Lot with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old. Here he finds himself searching in pursuit of God, but still yet childless. Now understand this, that it does not take a perfect man to be a perfect father. As a matter of fact, it takes a man that's willing to submit himself to God. Because God knows that I did not do everything right as a father. And neither did you. None of us did everything right when it came to fatherhood. There are plenty of mistakes that we have made in fatherhood. But understand that God makes up the difference. Even when we don't do everything we need to do as father, God knows how to make up the difference. The time that we did not make it to that baseball game, God was there and he made up the difference. The time we weren't at that recital, God still made up the difference. We as fathers can't be everywhere at the same time. I can't keep food on the table and be at every performance that you have. But needless to say, God makes up the difference. Understand that the Bible tells us what a blessed man looks like. And before we can be a blessed father, we need to be blessed men. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But look at here, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So as being a good father, you can't take advice from everybody. There are some folk that you don't need to listen to when they give you advice concerning your family. Yeah, you know how many times going into the plant that folk gave me some just bad advice. And I said, I'd be a fool if I took that advice. But I thank God. I thank God for a pastor that really understood what it means to be a father. That taught me what it meant to stand on the principles of God as a man of God and give good, sound advice to my children. And not just my children, but to everybody. I thank God for that. But we don't take advice from anybody, but our delight is in God's word. And we meditate on it day and night. So good father, good fathers know how to get alone with the Lord. They know how to get in their prayer closets. They know how to go down on bending knees and begin to pray for their children. Begin to lift their children up before the Lord. Understand that all of our children are not doing exactly what I would like for them to do. But needless to say, I still have to lift them up in prayer. They might not necessarily be with the mate that you want them to be with, but we still pray for them. We still that God will open their eyes and open their hearts that they might receive the truth of God's word. Problem with it, a lot of times at least my children are millennials. It's a different time zone. Different way of processing and thinking about things. You got to come a whole different way with them, sometimes. I mean, it's difficult sometimes. But as being a parent, I understand that. Sometimes we got to meet our children exactly where they're at instead of where we want them to be. Yeah, because God met you where you were at. Yes, he did. He met us exactly where we were at. And so therefore, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect father. Children will love their fathers. If you would just show them that they're valued, show them how much you care about them. There's time that I took off from work to be at programs for them, to go on field trips with them. Because it shows them that, hey, listen, you're worth more than just money. And wherever I need to make the sacrifice at, that's what I'll do. So we as fathers, we need to understand that. Listen, he promises also that he'll make us a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth his fruit in the season. And his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a godly man. This is what a real man looks like. This is what men do. And real men don't need a whole lot of appreciation. We really don't. Just every now and again tell us we're doing a good job. Every now and again say, look, thank you, Daddy, for what you're doing. I know you don't understand it now. And that's one of the things that Whitney was talking about. Saying, back then, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what Bernard was doing. But Lord, I thank you for the contribution he made in my life. I'm telling you, this moved me. It did. It moved my heart. Because I understand when you're talking about dealing with a stepfather. Because me too, I had a stepfather that I did not really learn to appreciate until he was dead. Didn't understand that. Everything that he brought into my life. Didn't understand some of the things that he said, some of the things that he did. But I learned by and by that he was only trying to protect me from myself. Because sometimes that's one of the hardest things to do, is protect your children from themselves. Fathers, understand that your children are on a road to destruction. And it is your responsibility to protect them from that. It is your job as a father to give them direction. It's your job to go out and say, who you hanging out with? Where you going? When you coming back? That's the role of a father. That's the role that really upsets a lot of folk in the house. That's the role that really goes unappreciated. Because it always seems like you're the villain. It seems like you're the mean guy. But there is a blessing in being a father. I tell you today, there is a blessing in being a father. Look at our text. In our text, Abram is still without child. Well, at least he's not without child. Sarah is without child. Because if you look at chapter number 16, Sarah decides that, why don't we help God out? Maybe it's through Hagar, my handmaid, that this child of promise is going to come. So why don't you go in and lie with Hagar, my handmaid? And through her womb, God will bless us. Now here's an interesting part here, because it seemed that at this point, Abram would have said, well, you know what, Sarah, let me pray about this thing. But he did not say, let me pray about this. He said, okay. That was the response to this whole thing. But as I begin to look back, what should have been his response? His response should have been, Sarah, get somewhere and sit down. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And sometimes we have to understand, sometimes we have to fight not just children, but wife too. There's a time that you got to battle both child and mama. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on now, come on, don't be. Sometimes you got to battle both of them. It's enough battling the children. But when you got to go through mama to get to the child, you got a problem on your hand. That's a struggle all by itself. And so they tried to help God out. And so thus born Ishmael was born to this consummation between Abram and Hagar. And God says nothing to Abram for 13 years. He was 86 when Ishmael was born. And now he finds himself at the age of 99. Genesis 17th chapter, verse number 1 says, "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Understand here that God introduces himself to Abram. And he reveals himself as being God Almighty. In other words, he can do anything he wants to do. In other words, there's nothing that's too hard for me. I've got your back, Abram. And just like I promised you that I was going to make a great nation out of you, I'm going to bring it to pass. And listen here, and to prove it to you, I'm going to make a covenant with you. But look here, this covenant here, this is not like the other covenants that God had made that were conditional. This is one of the first unconditional covenants that God makes with Abram. Here's what an unconditional covenant is. Unconditional covenant is that it's not predicated on what you do, but it's predicated on what God will do for you. And that's the blessing in this whole thing. It's not about you, Abram, but it's about what I'm going to do through you. It's about the seed that will come out of you that I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless you based upon my covenant relationship with you. He said, look here. He said, I will make thee a great nation. I will make thee fruitful. I will establish my covenant between me and thee. Nowhere do you say you will do. You don't see it. From verse 4 all the way down to verse 7, no less than 3 times he said what he will do, God will do. That's the type of covenant we have. Abram's problem is that he's childless. Does not have that seed. But is there anything too hard for God? I mean, he's going through his mind. He's 99 years old. Sarah's 10 years his junior at 89. By now, they ain't hitting on nothing. That was long before Viagra. But is there anything too hard for God? He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He said, behold, my covenant with you is that thou shalt be a father of many nations. Here he's talking about making him not just a covenant with him in his seed, but those who would extend outside of his seed. Because even with saying that, Abraham now has now become a father of many nations. But he also has become the father of the faith. The father in our faith. The faith, the same faith that we have in Christ Jesus. This is the blessing in being a father. That is through Abraham's seed. Through the lineage of Abraham. That all of us are blessed. That's the blessing in becoming a father. When Isaac was born, it was a blessing. Much in the same way when we have children, it is a blessing. Our children are a blessing. They are a gift from God. We should treat them as such. We should love them like they're a treasure, like they're a gift from God. We should treat them as such. We're to leave a heritage for our children and our grandchildren. I've been blessed with two grandchildren that I love dearly. And they know they can get just about anything they want to out of Papa. They know it. My granddaughter's only 6 months old, and she already knows. Oh, man, she knows. When I come in the room, she just smile. She smiles from ear to ear. And my grandson, I love him. That's my namesake. That's Roe. So we thank God for it. Not only our children, but our grandchildren. But also those ones that we have an impact in their lives. Because there's enough to go around. Understand, being in youth ministry and working in the youth field, there are a lot of fatherless children out there. There are a lot of children out there that have never heard, "I love you," from a man. They've never had a man put their arms around them and embrace them and tell them, "I love you." And that's what I want to challenge you as men to do, to reach beyond your borders, reach beyond your walls, reach outside of your house. There are young men out there that need you. There are young ladies out there that need you. And that's what God has called us to be as fathers, that we're to be a blessing to those who are fatherless. We'll always be a blessing. So it is a good thing to be a father. So he tells them that you're going to be a father of many nations. Well, if that's the case, then God said, "Well, I got to change your name." He said, "Neither shall thy name be called Abram," which is father exalted. He said, "But now I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which is father of many. For you shall be a father of many nations. And as a result of it, I'm going to make you fruitful, Abraham. I'm going to give you plenty of fruit from this one seed." And if you do your history, if you go back and look at the scriptures, you'll know that Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob had 12 boys, which ultimately became the children of Israel. 12 tribes of Israel. And when they went into Egypt, they went in as a small clan. But when they came out, they were over a million strong. Just from one man, Abraham. One man. One man's obedience to leave his nation, to leave the country in which he came from, to leave his father's house, to act in obedience and to wait on the Lord. For 25 years, Abraham waited for the promise. 25 years he labored. 25 years he honored God. And then God finally blessed him with his son. So he made him fruitful. And out of his loins came kings, some great kings. King David was one of them, perhaps one of the greatest kings Israel had ever seen. King Solomon, who was one of the wisest kings that they had ever seen. But there was a king that came out of his loins that is not mentioned so in Scripture. As a matter of fact, he is the King of Kings. He is the greatest gift that we got out of this whole covenant. I tell you, his name is Jesus Christ, for he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He did come to give his life a ransom for us. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. I thank you, Abraham, for being faithful to what God has called you to do. I thank you that you allowed him to move in your life. I thank you that these kings were born out of your loins. But I'm grateful to Jesus, that King, that mighty King, that has won many battles. He is the King of Kings. I thank you, Jesus, that you came and gave your life for me, that you died upon an old rugged cross for my sins, that you gave your very life, that you gave up everything just for me. I'm thankful that you hung on that cross. They nailed you to a cross. You hung your head in the locks of your shoulders, and you died for me. Took you off and put you in a tomb, but you rose on the third day just for me. Thank you, Jesus. That is the blessing of fatherhood. Because the King of Kings came through Abraham's obedience. His obedience to God. His obedience to Christ. And just like that, if you're obedient to God, if you're a father and you're obedient to God, God will bless you. Don't get weary. Don't give up. I know you feel like you want to give up, but don't give up. Keep on pressing your way because God has got you. He's got you. And here's the really good part about this whole story. All Abraham was looking for was one son. But look what he got. Look what God has done for us. He was looking for one son. That's all he wanted. And as a result of that one son, all of us have been blessed. It's a blessing in being a father. And I'll forever work on my legacy as a father. Not just my children, but to as many as I can. Because I understand the value of winning these young people for Christ. And I don't want not one of them going to hell. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for all that God does in me and through me. And all I say is, Lord, I'm available. I'm available to you. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.